know.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome and thank you for coming. Calling the April 18th, 2018 EDAC meeting to order. We're a little different than normal calendar, but we are all here. So this order of business is to approve the March 14th minutes. Are there any questions or comments, revisions, notes that we need to note? Okay, then may I have a motion for the approval of the March minutes?
Motion to approve.
Okay.
Second?
Is there a second?
Is there a second?
We'll give it to Andy.
We can't split it, so we'll take Andy. All those approved, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No opposition. The minutes are, the motion is approved unanimously. Thank you for the minutes. Item three is public comment. I don't think we have anything for that. So we'll move on to item four for announcements.
Just real quick, today we anticipate Chappelle joining us to talk about the Village Center, why we had to reschedule. Unfortunately, last week when I was out of town, they canceled it. They're going to reschedule till June. So we will. The June meeting will include a discussion of the Village Center in Doherty Valley, plus also Federal Realty will be here to talk about Crow Canyon Commons. So that'll be a good meeting. We won't have focus groups that day, so the whole meeting will be dedicated to meeting with those center owners and being able to ask them a lot of great questions that I know y'all are burning at. Jason's just sharing some of the questions that his subcommittee is working on, our focus group's working on, or discussing. So I think it'll be a really good time. So unfortunately, we just have a fairly short agenda today with just the focus groups, but I know marketing could use some additional time to kind of group and stuff, and so we'll try and run the meeting until about 5:15 or so today, and then if I see everyone starting to disappear around 5:30 or so we can get back and kind of update everyone.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. And I just want to add on what Debbie was saying for Chappelle. So they're off the hook for now, but we're having them coming back, and I think maybe in the meantime, might work out better for us, but as the entire committee, maybe we can all, I'd like you all to think about some questions or answers to questions you may have concerning the Doherty, well, actually the Village Center. Village Center at Doherty Valley, I think is what it's called. But I think Chappelle would be interested and appreciate feedback from this committee in terms of the types of businesses or plans he might have for that center. It really, I believe, Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the last piece of land in San Ramon that's not developed, that can be developed from the ground up. Is that accurate?
Well, there's a couple over in Bishop Ranch right here, but fundamentally, that's right.
Fundamentally?
There's two of them right here at Bolger, but...
Okay.
They're already entitled.
Oh, yeah, over there, right.
Yeah, they're but already entitled, but you're right.
This is not. So this is really working from sort of a clean slate, so to speak. I know there are some plans in terms of a gas station.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's public knowledge. In terms of, there's a housing component too, but in terms of retail and anything else related to retail, I think it's pretty wide open. So this committee is in a position to give the developer sort of any insights in terms of what this community would like to see, what's unrepresented, what are good ideas. And I think they're open to, without naming specific businesses, I think, you don't want to put the pressure on them, but to give them a sense of what's needed and what could serve well in that area, I think that'd be good. So I'm also going to try to get my thoughts to Debbie. Maybe she can send an email to circulate to everyone as a reminder as we get closer for that June meeting, so that we can make that meeting. We essentially want to, my vision is to create a dialogue with Chappelle and to have them come away from the meeting thinking, wow, these people have really good ideas, instead of thinking that was a waste of time. So that's not something you want to have happen.
And just to kind of, Doherty Valley, as we've discussed in the past, is processed through Contra Costa County, not the city.
Mm-hmm.
And so the county will be approving the uses, but there's a commitment that they'll work with the city staff on who will be tenanted in those. So
right. Input
from EDAC for Chappelle to hear is great, because they can be talking with those specific retailers that are of interest to the city. So it will be a very valuable conversation to have with them. So.
Can we know what they have in mind? Because that's a piece of land important to the Doherty Valley area. So what do they have in mind?
I don't know. That's what they'll be coming to share that with us. And they're hiring a marketing team right now. And so once they get the marketing team on board, there's a conference next week of shopping centers. So they'll be talking with a variety of tenants at that shopping center conference. So hopefully from that conference, they'll get some ideas of who might be interested in coming to San Ramon and to that shopping center. So at this point, beyond a gas station, that's all I know.
Okay. Right. And do we know the piece of land that was, at one time we said it's going to be a graveyard, is that still ongoing?
That's in Contra Costa County.
That's not part of this project area.
I do know what you're talking about, though, but that's unrelated.
Completely separate.
Okay.
Thankfully. Thankfully, okay.
What's the completion date of the center?
They're looking to have the first tenants in 2019. They're working on infrastructure right now. So basically it goes by how they get the lease assigned, because they're not going to build until they have a tenant.
Late 2019.
For the first phase, so which would be primarily the gas station and maybe one or two pads, what their goal is and what we're trying to get them up to speed. But overall, build out of the shopping center, 2021, I apologize. it's long trip. And then long-term build-out will be if the tenants come available.
So how many acres?
I don't remember off the top of my head. Sorry.
So that means that they will not start building it until they find the tenant, right?
Right, because they want to build, they have a general approval for the layout of what it will look like, but depending on if they can't get a big box grocer, like another Safeway probably won't do well, but maybe smaller specialty grocers might, so that's a completely different footprint. And so you don't want to go build a big Safeway and find you only want to accommodate smaller freestanding specialty grocers or uses. So it's really got to be driven by the tenant mix to a degree.
Okay, is that possible? You can get us a hope that we can talk with them, introduce some business, like a good business tool, like which food restaurants to help them connect to find the tenant.
I think those are all good suggestions to bring to the meeting as in terms of what this committee can recommend to help guide Chappelle.
I think in general we can guide them, but in this meeting I'm not sure we can talk about specific, like a restaurant things we can recommend. But as a citizen, maybe we can talk with them, introduce, get them connected with some like good restaurant owner.
Well, I think if there's a restaurant that, hey, maybe you want to go talk with them to say that, that's fine. I do that all the time with folks.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But that's fine. But and then they'll make their leasing team will make those connections on their own. We don't want to get involved in the middle of between the leasing team and the restaurant.
That. What, the individual, do you have their contact?
I do.
They're like a general contact on the web doesn't work well.
Right.
Maybe I can get.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you.
And then just one more thing. On the table, if you didn't pick it up, I provided you a copy of the April 3rd Planning Commission staff report. Gary will talk about this in her liaison comments. It was a really great meeting where the commission recommended the council the preferred alternative for the retail strategy. And so just so you guys can kind of keep up to speed, it's where the commission is with it. And shortly this summer, I'm hoping we'll start looking at the updated EDSP. So that'll be a good workload for the summer for the group to be doing. But I won't take Gary's thunder, let him talk about it
we'll get
at liaison comments, because I know he'll do a great job.
And all those handouts are
on the table.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. Item 5, special presentations. We don't. We're going to have one. Okay, let's move on to item 6, unfinished business. 6.1 is retail shopping center updates.
Currently, we do not have any new retail to discuss, so we're just kind of hanging out, waiting for new stuff.
Okay.
I have a question, sorry, on the retail. Do we know, I guess, what the city center or the other areas, like what kind of tenants are looking for? Is it more food tenants? Is it retail, big box, or are they looking for anybody to fill up the space?
It's a combination of both food and tenants, and so they are very close-lipped about that, and so hopefully as they get tenants signed, they announce them, and then it helps generate additional tenants. So I've heard there may be another announcement coming in the next week or two, but it just depends on when the leases are executed at that point. So.
We can suggest, but it's up to them.
To sign the leases, and negotiate the price and stuff. That's correct.
6.2 is the work plan.
Just the updated is in progress. I did send Jason the first draft of the annual report, which actually we were going to talk about in June. So we may have to bring that to our next meeting in May and start kind of going over the format of it and look to recommendations for next year. But we can talk offline about that.
Sure.
So the work plan informs the annual report. And so as you guys start thinking about in your discussion groups, you know, if there's things that you want to start working on for next year, I know marketing has the passport program, which will pretty much consume, you know, their good part of their year, and then EDSP work and things like that. Start thinking about those goals for the next year. I think we're doing a great job of moving things forward right now. We've done a lot of work in the last 6 months, and so just kind of keep that momentum going.
Yeah. I'll probably have a few ideas for you under the topic, educate ourselves.
We can do that.
Item 7 is government liaison remark. 7.1 is the city council update. Scott?
I'm going to report on two things. One is, I mentioned before, I'm on the board of directors for MCE. I'm also on their technical committee, the rate setting committee, and the power contracts review committee. The rate setting committee met a few weeks ago, and we decided to keep the rates constant. Our fiscal year, MCE's fiscal year, is 1 April through 31 March. And so there's been no change in our rates. PG&E raised their rates as of 1 March. We kept ours steady. And so we will be 3 to 4% below PG&E over the entire rate structure. We went through the entire rate structure. And for every rate PG&E has, we have a matching one. But ours are 3 to 4% below theirs. Interesting in power contracts going forward. We're looking to buy power contracts out 15 and 20 years, and some of these are for projects that haven't been built yet, but by having a contract, they can get financing to actually go forward and build and then start producing and delivering power in 2020 or 2021, things like that. But one of the interesting things is there is so much solar power, particularly from May to October, that if you buy too much, you actually have to pay to put it on the grid. You don't get paid, you actually have to pay to put it on the grid, which I found fascinating. And so going forward, we won't be buying any solar contracts that don't come with storage. So we're looking at contracts like buying 100 megawatt capacity, but it has to come with at least 20 megawatts of storage. So what they do is in the middle of the afternoon, they're pouring power into the storage system, and then at 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, they're pulling the power back out. And that's an arbitrage kind of thing, because even though you have losses putting power into batteries and pulling power out of batteries, the price difference on the grid is substantial. The most expensive power these days is really from about 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock, and particularly during the summer, and during the day, the cheapest power is from noon to 4. And so you actually suck power off the grid, put it in your batteries in the middle of the day, and then you put it out at night. It's an interesting process. We're also looking at a lot of wind, because wind is actually pretty constant on the average day and night. It doesn't go away. And so there's some good wind projects out there that, regardless of the month, regardless of the hour, they have a pretty steady wind on average. But just wanted to let you know that that's happening. And you, if you're planning on opting out, you have 60 days from your billing, from your meter reading date. So whatever date they use on your bill to read your meter, you have 60 days from then to opt out without any charges or penalties. After that, then there's a $5 service charge. On the city council, we had a budget workshop yesterday. This was the first budget workshop of the year. The staff and the city manager have been started back in January proposing budgets and massaging them and cutting and squeezing. And I thought they did a fantastic job. We have we usually work in terms of our operating budget for this. And the operating budget is the Dowdy Valley CSA M29 plus the general fund. and that will come to $69.6 million. And the proposed budget is balanced in that the revenues equal the expenditures for the year. It includes adding only one staff, a police services technician, to work in the evidence. I recall 10 years ago, we formed our own police department. At that time, we were responsible for zero evidence. We now have over 16,000 pieces of evidence that we maintain and keep inventory on. We provide for cases and things like that. So they need more help there. All revenue sources will be up, are projected to come up, except sales tax, which you say, that was kind of my question, was why sales tax? And the answer was, because the business to business is a very volatile piece, and our sales tax consultant told us that to not count on the large sales tax that we had 2 years ago, which actually dropped off last year too. So it's a two-year drop in sales tax revenue, and a lot of it has to deal with where is the point of sales tax for businesses. There was a time when Caterpillar Tractor had their power division was in Bishop Ranch, and we were getting millions of dollars in sales tax revenue from their power division because Bishop Ranch was the point of sale. And you sell, you know, a $500,000 piece here and a $2 million piece there, it kind of adds up. Well, they moved. And that really, we haven't come back to that level. And it's been more than 15 years, and we're still not back to where we were when Caterpillar was here. One of the nice things that showed up on the presentation was COP number 11. A COP is kind of like a mortgage. The city can borrow money and use its facilities as collateral. And COP 11, our final payment of $200,000 will be made this year. And so that will be off our books at the end of the year. We still have COP 12, and the balance on COP 12 is in here. What I think it's about a $10 million balance. Something like that. I'd ask Gary, but he didn't show up last night. He usually does, that's why. Hang on, Nick. We'll have a balance of $12 million on COP 12. Our general fund reserves will be at 44% of our operating expenses. Our policy is 40%, so we have a cushion on our cushion. And one of the things that was underfunded that council discussed in some detail was we had established a infrastructure maintenance fund, and the goal was to put $1.5 million into that maintenance fund every year. The balanced budget, we are only putting $435,000 into the fund, but I think the council was in at least some level of consensus that we will review that at mid-year based upon the current projection for the current year we are that closes here on 30 June is we're going to have about a $700,000 or $800,000 surplus this fiscal year, and so we will look, since that's a $700,000 or $800,000 increase to our reserves, we could in fact essentially fully fund our IMF going forward, or we could put it towards other things, or we could just put it in reserves. But since our reserves are fully funded, the council might be inclined to use that money towards some capital or one-time expense. We're disinclined to put it towards an operating expense, but a capital expense. And that's my report. Okay. If you have any questions, please. Okay.
Thanks, Scott. Item 7.2, Planning Commission. Gary?
Okay. Thanks. David, we did not meet this week. Weeks ago, and a minor item, you know, there's a retail building down at Cooper Drive in Santa Maria Valley Boulevard, and one of the steps in the process within the city is public art, and so the Arts Advisory Committee, you know, makes a recommendation, and then the Planning Commission approves it, so it'll be a piece of public art. If you think about all the retail centers in Santa Maria, they all have some piece of public art, so we did approve a piece that's going to go on the wall, that's kind of a retaining wall, and it has kind of, it's a really kind of a scenery of the history of the valley. So really well done, nicely designed. And maybe the bulk of the meeting.
Do they highlight the Wicked Eye? Part of the history.
No.
That's what it was.
We
They didn't come that forward in history.
Oh, yeah.
I think the old schoolhouse is on there.
They had
mercantile.
Heralds, the Native Americans that settled here originally.
Right, the huts.
I think they might have stopped around maybe the 1880s or 1920s.
Okay.
Nothing to do with the Wichita.
Okay.
If you have any questions about that, apparently see Councilman Perkins.
Well, actually, Bill knows where the original sign went, he says.
Okay, I'm going to move on. Anyways, the bulk of the evening was spent discussing the preferred retail strategy, and we've had a presentation here, and we're getting very close to having this presentation go to City Council. Upon adoption, then that'll spawn a lot of work from a lot of groups, including this one, you know, updating things like the EDSP, updating perhaps zoning codes, updating some the economic element of the general plan. As you all recall, some of the goals of the plan was how can we protect retail in our city, how can we balance retail and housing, how can we, you know, improve our sales tax picture, a lot of high-level goals there. And so they've come up with a really thorough analysis of the state of retail in the city rooms, what will work, what won't work, why are we, what should we do to protect it. And they came back with a lot of strategies and things like that actually to protect our current retail. And I think it's probably fair to say the strategy is really, let's do our best to protect our base. You know, we're not going to attract a lot of things that are like some of the, you know, high-end new retailers outside the city center. You know, a Saks Fifth Avenue is not going to go into Country Club, for instance, obviously. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's kind of a defensive posture more than, you know, some of the offensive posture. And so there's a whole lot of, you know, options or actions that have been recommended. We pretty much accepted the report as is, but the way they broke the report, and you can see it in the staff report there, is they actually took a look at specific areas of the city, and they spent time trying to protect certain areas of the city. For example, you know, the Central Bollinger Canyon Road corridor, which includes the city center, which includes the shops at Bishop Branch. Backing up for a second, a lot of this is kind of a balance between where you put housing and where you put shopping. A lot of the shopping centers were zoned, you know, or are zoned currently, that would allow the developer to actually put housing there. You know, and so, you know, in this market, if it's something zoned as housing and a developer comes in and wants to shut down, say, you know, Pro Canyon Country Club or a Country Club Shopping Center and put housing there, they legally can't because it's zoned that way. So some of the recommendations are protecting current centers. So, for example, where we have Target, you know, the recommendation was, let's not allow housing on the Target parking lot, let's make sure we keep it retail. So those are the kinds of strategies that you're going to see in the plan. It also, so that's under the category of changing mixed use to retail only. One of the consequences of taking away housing from shopping centers is you have to find a place for it. So, you know, one of the goals from the city council is to concentrate housing kind of at the core, this area here where all the jobs are. So, you know, so the recommendation there was to allow, and certain tools you can do this by allowing density or the area ratio to allow for more housing in this area. So there are some recommendations there around that. There are some recommendations around things that this committee has kind of talked about. For instance, let's make it easier for shopping centers to do events in their parking lot, you know, like pop-up things. So, you know, all those things take work by city staff eventually, whether it's updating zoning codes, whether updating plans and things like that. So I think you can take a look at the plan, but it's safe to say every single center that you're familiar with in the city actually had some discussion around it. Even to the extent some of the lesser shopping centers, for example, you know, you're all familiar with the shopping center at the top of Bollinger Canyon. There's a restaurant, there's some medical things like that. You know, it's nice neighborhood serving things, so let's allow that to continue. You know, there's some retail that is along 680 east of San Ramon Valley. You know, you can think of where Togo's is and some of the restaurants there. Let's let that become commercial. You know, let's not try and protect retail where it's not going to be successful. So the consultants, I think, with the city staff did a really, really thorough job of analyzing each and every center. What are the options? What should be done? What are the recommendations? And so those are recommendations at this point. Upon city council approval, that will kick off, like I said, updates to the EDSP, updates to the general plan's economic element, update to zoning codes, So, like, probably a year or more's worth of work as a result of the next step here. So I'll stop there and see if there's any questions about where we're going.
The consultants have, originally when this was first presented, they had one possible strategy they called pruning. Did that survive, or is that, did they just say, let's not focus on that, let's focus on what the city does well and make sure that the centers who are performing well don't stay that way, I guess?
Right. So, for example, one of the pruning recommendations very early on was Country Club Shopping Center, for instance, down where Walmart is. They said that may not be a good place for retail. After further discussion with the planning commission, we felt that given, you know, the new senior project that's going in there, given the number of houses down there, it really is an okay performing center, and we should not allow it to become fully housing at this point. Mm-hmm. So we did address some of those pruning comments as well. Yeah, I would have to say there's really, you know, even though they call them individual strategies, they're really not discrete. It's almost like we're going to probably implement almost every one of the recommendations in some way, shape, or form.
And you find that at this stage in our process, it really is a, because when they first presented, it was a series of different recommendations. And I think at one of your meetings for planning, they were, or maybe the city council, they were saying it's probably going to be more of a mixture of the recommendations, a hybrid of sort.
Right.
You find that's true? That's
even more so true now. First, it felt like it was discrete strategies. We're going to implement a pruning strategy or this or that. But I think it's morphed over time to there really are tools and strategies to do various things in various parts of the city. So it's almost every one of the recommendations, you know, whether it's pop-ups in shopping centers, that could be common everywhere.
Right.
You know, converting Target to away from mixed use to retail only, that applies just here. Mm-hmm. You know, so, but no, there's, I think it's really going to be a combination.
All right, I'll try to keep my last question. Do you know if in the process of getting from the beginning to where they are now, did the consultants consult with stakeholders? Did they get any input from various landowners or owners of the shopping centers?
I think the answer is yes. I know they've met with a number of brokers who represent shopping centers and what their strategies are for the long term. Mm-hmm. I mean, one real common one is I know they've talked to quite a bit to the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the marketplace is kind of a hard one. You know, if you all know about the marketplace, it's kind of hard to tell what's in there when you're on the streets. So some things came up, you know, in our workshop, when we actually brought in some brokers and then the presentation, and it's a, you know, an overall plan for the marketplace is needed, you know, to improve circulation, improve signing, things like that, because it is hard. You don't really know that, unless you live here and know what's here, you know what's going to be here. Yeah, quite a bit of discussion around across the street where the supply hardware used to be, it's now sports basement. Is that a good shop? Is that a good opportunity for housing or for retail? You know, the answer is yes. You know, it's really up to the developer to kind of develop. But it's not a bad place for housing. You know, it's right next to, you know, the city center and the employment hubs. It's not a bad spot for retail because there's so much residential around. So, but where it is right now, the way it's laid out, is just not optimal.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah, just to answer your question about stakeholders, part of the process, we send invitations out to all the property owners. And then our focus group that we started this process with, our stakeholder group, they're still engaged to the degree they want to be engaged. And, you know, with a process like this, it starts out really big picture, but then as it starts to get closer and closer and funneling down to the final, I start getting a few more calls that, oh, I've been monitoring this. I see my shopping centers being discussed. You know, I finally got a Gateway and Country Club's attention this last week. You know, so, you know, they don't really get engaged until they see something going to the city council for selection of a preferred alternative. You know, and so we did the best we could to reach out. Thomas Jaha, who was here, well, actually met with the Planning Commission in a focus group discussion, and Robert was there also, and then City Center. Yeah, the joint meeting we had. And he actually was helping to get the word out, too, to all the brokers that he knew in the community, too. So, you know, we kind of had a little bit of a grassroots movement going there, too, but really wanted to make sure that we did early outreach to those owners. So if they wanted to start talking early on, they could, but as it gets more to, you know, getting to the end result, they all start showing up. It's just part of how the process works.
Will be any discussion on demolition permits regarding shopping centers?
Yeah, probably.
That would get a lot of interest.
Input there.
Might get some input.
Yeah, or if you say signs are over the counter, do what you want, then they would show up in a heartbeat.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I just wanted to make sure they're involved.
As much as they want to be.
As much as they want to be.
I can't go pick them all up. It just,
that's
You can only let them know about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a final comment as a reminder. The city doesn't build restaurants and the city doesn't build shopping centers.
Right.
So just remember that the city does not build those things. What the city does is, or Starbucks or any of those things, they do not build those things. You know, so it's not centrally planned, you know, that way. So the process, as I'm starting to become more and more familiar with, is we create the environment to allow developers to come in and do things. So if we think something is a prime candidate for retail only, what the city can do is they can make sure that it's zoned for retail only, not housing, not commercial, not those kinds of things. So remember, if somebody says, when you hear, you read on Nextdoor, why is the city building a Starbucks? You know, the city doesn't build Starbucks. So
And just to let you know, tentatively, we're going to the City Council on May 8th with this preferred alternative. And so if you're more than welcome to attend the meeting to kind of keep engaged in the process, and it will be good if you do so you can hear the conversation, dialogue, because it'll be coming back to EDAC with EDSP at some point over the summertime. So.
I have a question on the, where the Purdue Road is. Is that area going to be changed from industrial to mix because of the residents also on the apartment complex being built across the street from In-N-Out?
Yeah, so that's the Crow Canyon plant, specific plant area. And we actually just closed the RFP process to update that plan last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And so that'll be a separate process away from this economic element update that we'll be undergoing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look into the strategies, it does discuss what's
mm-hmm.
important for that area. But that'll be a completely separate process that'll be running lagging behind this process.
Yeah, that's what I was reading. Okay.
Yeah.
Gina?
I have more of a general question for Gary.
No.
Sorry.
Okay.
We don't build Starbucks. The city does not build Starbucks. Can the city implement a moratorium on a certain type of business to reduce the number of said business types? For an example, tutoring centers, pizza joints.
So, I think we did talk a little bit about, you know, doing things like controlling the market by saying hard percentages and certain things, and you know, and one of the, you know, the city does have standards for what percent could be non-retail or non-sales tax generating in our shopping centers.
25%.
So one of the recommendations from this consulting team, and of course, if you're a landlord, you know, rent's rent. You don't care.
Right. You don't care.
You don't really care. In fact, some landlords we've learned at EDAC, they like tutoring centers and things like that because, you know, mom and dad drop the kids off and then they go shopping. So, you know, it's kind of a push-pull thing. So one of the recommendations for consulting, which we did embrace, you know, as a good idea, is if a landlord is interested in going over the 25%, they have to show economic findings to show that it's a direct thing to do. So they're raising the bar to not just say yes because it's a vacancy, they're trying to force the landlord to do that. To your first question, can there be a moratorium on a certain type of business? I'll defer to Debbie, but I'm going to guess the answer is it's really hard.
It's difficult. But the way we do regulate the type of businesses is through the zoning ordinance. And so if we don't want tutoring centers in our commercial shopping centers or retail centers, we can say they're not permitted. So that was one way, and that actually was discussed by the Planning Commission as a way to reduce the number of tutoring centers. But if you look at the tutoring centers, there's typically one per shopping center. You'll get a tutoring center, maybe a karate studio, which are non-retail. But really, that's driven by the non-retail percentage. But what we've learned from the consultant team is you want those uses also in your centers because it brings parents in, take their kids to karate, then they go shopping at the grocery store that's there, or get a cup of coffee. And so there are all those linked trips that really get folks that drive those trips into the center. So you got to be careful to prohibit a use that may help enhance your sales taxability too.
And as you were talking, I recall they did give some examples of Berkeley. Regulations of the kinds of businesses. And their conclusion, and by studying what's going on in Berkeley, was overly restrictive. And they're being overly restrictive on what stores and what kinds of stores. They have lots of vacancies as a result. Had a hard time, you know, renting them out. If you can only have this type of store and this whole retail thing, then all of a sudden, you know, people are not showing up. You know, so.
Well, actually, it was a quota, I believe,
they had.
I'm
going to use the word quota.
Quota, and they had a restaurant space that vacant for 2 years.
The other thing the city of Berkeley has, I know what you're talking about, they don't allow, so if I own Cream, the sandwich shop in Berkeley, the agreement that we have with the city of Berkeley is that you're not going to allow any ice cream sandwich shops within a quarter mile of this location. Well, guess what? Anything around a quarter mile of Ashby Avenue is all retail business. So that person who wants to open up is out of luck. They got to go out there where, and they're not zoned for retail. So there's also that component too, where I think maybe we have it here in San Diego. I know the landlords have it in San Diego.
Some have some exclusivity. We have a problem that Trader Joe's wanted to move into the Gateway Center at the south end of town. And Lucky, who was the major tenant there, has a veto power, and they said no. And even though we tried to convince them that Trader Joe's is really not competing with the grocery store, they actually serve a slightly different purpose in people shopping. There's specialty items at Trader Joe's that you're not going to find in a Lucky, and people will do both in a single trip.
They sell bananas, we sell bananas on a Lucky.
Exactly. They're probably cheaper, too.
It happens.
Yeah.
I was just wondering what the percentage of the lots, you know, the subdivision, the zoned areas are city-owned and what ones are owned by private citizens.
City owns
probably three public property only. Yeah, but we're in the process of selling the Aspenwood property, on Kimball, and then the Omega Road parcel, which at the corner of Omega and Old Crow Canyon Road.
Astoria Deerwood corner.
Yeah, and that's it.
Well, and
we own MUDS. Well, we own MUDS now. Yeah.
So the MUDS has no commercial value.
Yeah, when this land became available, the landowners are private citizens purchased it because the city has an option to lease rather than sell, right?
In what regard?
To lease land instead of sell it.
Well,
to yeah, develop it.
The part of the problem is the two parcels that we're selling are owned not by the city but by the housing authority. And so because they're owned by the housing authority, the only thing that can go on those has to be...
Highest and best use, I think.
Highest and best use, yeah. You're right.
There's really only three. I guess the answer really is there's three properties.
Three properties. And one of which is commercially unviable.
And one's closing shortly.
None of the areas that are zoned for businesses are owned by the city.
For retail, no.
So we have no power like we wanted it.
We're not in the marketing business.
Not renew a lease and kind of put stuff there that we want. We can't do anything.
We're not in the marketing business, no.
We're not the landlord.
No. Okay, thanks, Gary.
Thanks, Gary. Item 7.3, Parks and Community Services Commission. Carol?
Yes. Continue on in that field, we had at our last meeting, we had a presentation of a private-public contract for the Crow Canyon Gardens area and the Old MUDS area, that they wanted to place a preschool where Old MUDS was, and they wanted to take over the entire area to make the Crow Canyon Gardens area more, effective, and they wanted to shore up the creek and all of this, and then they were going to give $1 million and et cetera. Well, it wasn't our part as a park commission to say no or yes or no, we like this proposal, because there are many, many questions. So after much discussion and the audience and everything, because a lot of people thought we were voting on that proposal that was before us, instead of we could only, as a park commission, take an issue with it, whether we wanted to have a public-private contract in a park facility. So what we did, and what I referred to, the motion was that we refer the issue to public-private parks that will be in our park commission general plan update that we're now doing. So that will be discussed in that update as to whether we want to proceed, not just with that piece of property, but maybe another park that comes up because there's undeveloped park land that we have. So that will be discussed, and the public will get their input as to whether we would have some form of, in the plan, of that we could do public, private. Because see, then they thought the general public thought we were selling it, or they didn't know what was going on. But it will go to the general plan update, so that area then will be certainly be open to other proposals other than just the one, because there were too many questions that were unanswered. So that was a hot topic. That was the main emphasis on our meeting, and we elected the new team of council for the upcoming year. So we have new council people, and now there'll be one team council member that can apply for being the chair, and then they will have a seat on the Parks Commission.
How many members are there?
And yeah, we always recommend to the council anyway. We're not the deciding factor.
How many members are on that council?
There are 17 and 2 alternates.
How many applications did you receive?
We received 69 applications. I was, and another gentleman was on the screening, and unfortunately we had to disqualify 34 applicants.
Oh.
They did not follow the rules. There was instructions for a one-page essay. There were instructions you had to type in the boxes that were allowed. You could only use a 12-point font. They just didn't follow directions, so there's no, we have to follow directions, because I know that Don and I went through about 3 times to make sure we did everything that we were supposed to do, because we were, so we interviewed about 34 students. But we said they have to learn somewhere that you have to follow the rules.
During your college education, right?
So if you ever write for grants, if you make one don't follow one issue, you're not going to get it. So it's a hard lesson. Yeah. But I will say for the teen council, I think their ambassador program was successful, because that's where that they went to junior highs students and got them interested in the teen council. So we had a lot more 8th graders applying to become on the teen council. So that was a success for them. And I would say there's only probably about 6 or 7 returning teen council people. So it's going to be a new group, that have experience. And we also discussed that maybe we would change the rules, that we would only do it every other year, so that there would be a lot more. Wouldn't have to apply so much, but there would be some that would have experience and some that would be new coming on all the time. But that we'll discuss that later. Okay. Those are the 2 issues.
You know what school high schools are from?
For the heights for the teams, they were from Cal High, they were from Doherty High, they're, I believe, one from Monta Vista. And I think we had a Quarry Lane, and I think we had a Valley Christian. We had all of them.
But the student
lives here. He or she can be on the team council.
And I hope you say it's not every other year, but it's totally upgraded from students. If you are interviewing every other year?
We're not. I'm not saying that. We are going to discuss that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's up for discussion. Okay. Anything else, Carol?
No, that's it.
All right, thank you. 7.5, Teen Council update.
Chamber.
Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped over that. 7.4, Chamber of Commerce. Sorry, Gina.
We are working on the Tri-Valley Mayor's Summit, which is in August, and we've sent out requests for sponsorships. I think within the next month, you should be able to go onto the website and buy tickets for the Tri-Valley Mayor's Summit. Which will be held at 2600 Bishop Ranch. Yeah, it'll be nice. And as I think everybody knows, that's where the 5 mayors, Livermore, Pleasanton, Dublin, San Ramon, Danville, get together and discuss. The moderator this year will be Supervisor Candace Anderson. We are also working to update the chamber website. We have redesigned it. But we've noticed that there is some content that needs updated. And we also are making an effort to improve and strengthen our governmental affairs committee. So we are going to basically have a hub on the website, the chamber website, for government affairs, and have everything from how to contact officials to pending legislation that could affect businesses. We are working on our candidates forum that I talked about last time. We have secured a venue, which is 2600, I believe. And that will be held September 13th. I think the time is 6 o'clock. It's a Thursday. But we now know that there will be a contested race because it will be a contested race, at least for the city council seats. And it's still up in the air about the assembly. We might want to partner with League of Women Voters or some other entity, because that's going to be another important one. Mm-hmm. But to take on, for the chamber to take on too, that's way too much. And then we're just continuing outreach to partner organizations, including Discover San Juan.
What is the date for the Tri-Valley Mayor Summit?
August 15th, I want to say. I should know this. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Just trying to.
Should Discover San Juan have a representative here?
I asked. I asked, and they are just too completely overwhelmed to think about having a representative here or on the chamber. They're still, yes, they've been around since 2015, but they're still in startup mode. Mm-hmm. They don't have a website. They don't have several things. And the answer was, we just can't do that right now. Okay.
So. It's not a solid no, it's just not right now.
Exactly.
Right. So we'll take that.
It is the 15th. I had it on my calendar already.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Anything else, Gina? That was, okay, thank you. Now we move on to team council.
So basically what we're doing right now is we're just, we finally got a booth, like for the first time, I think, at the Art and Wind Festival. So we set up a subcommittee for setting up a booth and like what activities we're going to do and like how we're going to present ourselves in front of the city. Also, we canceled our June meeting, so next month will be our last team council meeting for this term. So, yeah,
it's coming to an end quickly.
What is the goal of having the booth at the Art and Wine Festival?
So, basically, we're just trying to, like, reach out to, like, the team demographic. Like, I'm pretty sure there are going to be a lot of people there. We're setting up our booth by like the skate park specifically, so we can just like reach the like teens like better. We're just trying to like get out the word of what teen council is, because right now it's like I guess like the like what teen council is kind of like I guess died down over the years. So we're trying to just get our word out again,
like a recruitment almost,
basically.
Thank you.
I think you have already a lot of candidates.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, breakout groups.
Thank you. For
that. 5:40.
Come back. Yeah. Okay. We're back in full committee mode now.
You and everyone, the U.S. Grand Prix.
So, Debbie, what do you need from us?
Yeah. Just a quick 2-minute update. Oh, monkey in the middle.
Inadvertently volunteered.
You're it.
We lost it. We lost Duck Duck Goose.
So, I guess marketing, you want to? You had the
quick update?
So, go ahead, go first.
Whomever?
Oh, if you know, I could tell you what we talked about.
Okay, go ahead.
So, Robert, check me on this, right? All you guys check me on this. But so, our focus today was primarily, I think, on the Village Center in the future, and ways that our group and perhaps the entire community can help become educated and also educate Chappell as far as the opportunities that the site presents. And I've also asked our group to give some thought in terms of questions to ask, you know, what kinds of things they'd like to see, what's Chappell's plan, what's your vision, what is the theme of the center? Mm-hmm. The theme was a big topic in our group discussion. I think that's also going to help inform the types of businesses that could potentially best serve that community. I'll also discuss the importance of understanding demographics in serving and defining what that market is. So we will have ongoing discussions about that. Did I accurately capture that?
Yes.
Anybody want to chime in? So I'm looking forward to getting everyone's input. Again, I can't force you to do it, but I'm hoping that you give some good input. That's our subcommittee.
Perfect.
For today.
Okay. We worked a little bit more on solidifying details for our passport program, and we actually put some dates to milestones. So we're going to reach out to chamber members to be part of the passport program, to have their business as a location on the passport, and we're going to market it to chamber members, and then we're also going to put it in media and other avenues to get the information out to non-chamber members, because we don't want to exclude them in any way, shape, or form. Tori put together a mock-up of the passport, which is awesome, and we're going to work from there, and Debbie is going to join the She's going to come to the chamber for the May 22nd meeting and present the idea to the chamber board. Mm-hmm. Did I miss anything?
Perfect. No. Okay. That's great. And then we're targeting Small Business Saturday, which is in November, from November 17th through
December
16th. Yeah. But Small Business Saturday is the day after Saturday after Thanksgiving, so that's kind of our target for the program.
20 businesses have to get at least 15 stamps to be eligible for a drawing. The drawing gifts will come from the businesses on the passport, the gift certificates, and so on.
Perfect. And where do you get the passport from each participating business? We'll have that there.
Well, that's one of the things we were discussing.
Oh.
We want to see what it costs to print them. And as far as location, yeah, we would, you know, if we can print them and actually have them in a non-digital form, we would have them here at the city, at the chamber, at the businesses, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. You could pass them out at the Art and Wind Festival if you can.
I don't think it'd be
ready too soon.
Too soon.
We don't know the businesses yet, so
we're going to recruit businesses between June and August, and then a subcommittee of the chamber is going to select the businesses, and then we have to educate the businesses, and we have to get the word out to residents, so we won't be ready before September at the earliest.
So Gina, has there been any discussion as potentially using our liaison for a teen council to get the word out for a passport program?
Oh, yeah. As far as to residents or businesses or
students,
both?
Students, yeah,
states.
We can work with the team program, yeah, and they'll have a new liaison. We'll have a new one
in
August.
We'll have a new liaison. Plus, we have we can work with the school district to get the information out.
Yep.
Yes, to the school
right
district.
Here. Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea to connect with them and help them kind of get the word out. Give them something fun to do.
Especially if it's a free program. I think students would love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Liz Grasswich is the board.
Nice, that name. I get notifications, emails when you're dealing with the school. Okay.
Right.
So I think
we're good.
Thank you everyone for today and for all your input. And we are adjourned.
Okay.